Ms. Joy.
Well, we haven't set a record yet. We did have a public hearing one time that went till about 2 o'clock in the morning. So I hope we get out of here before then and you don't become the new record. I think you all need to understand what our position is as council members. Is your head loose or what? Mr. Cowboy Hat?
Yeah, my name is Skyler Waxman.
Well, yeah. Stop shaking your head.
I'll do what I want.
Oh, so I get that.
This is my city.
I get that. It's mine too. Okay. It's mine too.
Yeah, I elected you.
Good.
You represent me.
We
yeah,
are.
No,
okay.
Please continue. Please continue, Ms. Joy.
Okay.
What I can do here in the chamber.
We are nonpartisan. This is not a political body. I represent people who are libertarians, people who are Green Party, people who are independents, who are Democrats, who are Republicans. I've got, they're all over. And everybody up here has the same situation. So it is not political for us. It is political for Charles Perry, Dustin Burroughs, and John Frullo. It is a political issue for them. This issue is on the Republican Party platform and has been for a number of years. So for it to end up with us is the wrong place. About 95% of what I heard tonight really didn't have anything to do with the ordinance. It had to do with how people feel about abortion or about Planned Parenthood or a family member who's had an issue. And I get that, and that's part of it for you all. But it doesn't have to do with the ordinance. It just has to do with your passion one way or the other. And it really doesn't matter how we feel about abortion. Those of you who quoted scripture to us, remember separation of church and state. I sometimes had a hard time following people because they wanted to talk about Planned Parenthood and us keeping them out of Lubbock, which is not has nothing to do with the ordinance. They wanted to talk about making Lubbock a sanctuary city, which did have to do with the ordinance. And they wanted to tell us what other people believed. You can tell what you believe and what maybe your close family and friends, but for someone to get up there and say, well, I think all the citizens of Lubbock would vote for this ordinance. You can't do that. And when you do things like that, then it's hard to listen to you because your credibility is not very good. When Mr. Rhodes got up, he said that the state law was that abortion was murder. But he didn't tell you the other provision in section 19.06, that it does not apply to the death of an unborn child in an abortion situation. He told you half the story. We can't do that. That's not being open and honest about what's going on. Many of you warned us, passed judgment on us. And I'm a firm believer that the only judgment that's going to be passed on me is by my maker. Not you, not Charles Perry, or anybody else. I'm not sure some of you have read the ordinance all the way through. Because if you had, there are some provisions that would be very scary if you really thought about them and walked them through. There was a statement made, I believe, by several of you that those Article 191, 192, 193, 194, and 196 were still the law. If you look at Roe versus Wade, and on my copy, it's on page 23, Article 196 is unconstitutional. And that means, of course, that the Texas abortion statutes as a unit must fall. That's a Supreme Court, United States Supreme Court speaking. And they are the law of the land. There have been some reports that Mr. Perry indicated that the U.S. Supreme Court was really not making law, it was just opinions. Well, you go back to Marbury versus Madison, which is an 1803 case, and that case decided the principle of judicial review. And they gave it to the United States Supreme Court, and that is the ultimate law of this land. Several people have talked about Roe versus Wade, and I think it's interesting that the ordinance, even though this law is 47 years old, it was actually decided in 1973. That was when the decision was rendered. But in the ordinance, it says the state's temporary inability to prosecute or punish those who violate its abortion statutes on account of Roe versus Wade does not change the fact that abortion is still defined as a criminal act under Texas law. None of that's true. And if 47 years is temporary, I'd hate to see something that's really, really long. Mr. Christian pointed out that the statute actually says that it is not enforceable until Roe versus Wade is overturned, and then there are a couple of other contingencies. But the provision that should really scare you the most has to do with public enforcement and private enforcement. Under public enforcement, it allows and this is immediate because I took this from Mr. Sego, because obviously even if we pass the ordinance, we can't enforce it because Roe versus Wade hasn't been overturned. But the rest of it would be immediately enforceable. And let's see what it says. Any person, corporation, or entity that commits an unlawful act described in Section D1 and D2, and if you've read the ordinance, you know what that says, other than the mother of the unborn child that has been aborted, shall be liable in tort, T-O-R-T, to the unborn child's mother, father, grandparents, siblings, and half-siblings. The person or entity that committed the unlawful act shall be liable to each surviving relative of the aborted unborn child for compensatory damages, punitive damages, and costs and attorney's fees. There is no statute of limitations. That means that case could be filed at any time. You could be 50 years old and you could file a lawsuit against some of those individuals. If that doesn't scare you, then you better start getting down on your knees. Then it goes on to say, any private citizen of Texas may bring an action to enforce this ordinance against a person or entity that has committed an unlawful act described in Section D, or that commits or plans to commit an unlawful act described in Section D, and shall be awarded injunctive relief, statutory damages, costs, and attorney's fees. And that likewise has no statute of limitations. I guess if you're going to try to do what is attempting to be done here this evening, you just put it all, everything you want, into an ordinance. It's what it sounds like to me. In January of 2017, Texas legislature passed Senate Bill 8. Charles Perry was a primary author, and they codified that bill in the Texas Health and Safety Code, Section 171.151 to 0.154. And it said that a person may not intentionally perform a dismemberment abortion unless the dismemberment abortion is necessary as a medical emergency. Well, guess what? They got sued. State got sued. And this was Whole Women's Health versus Paxton. And the lower court said that since the Supreme Court's landmark decision nearly 50 years ago, it has been clear that the 14th Amendment guarantees a woman's right to choose to undergo a pre-viability abortion. The Court of Appeals reaffirmed Roe's essential holding, and the Texas law constitutes an undue burden on a woman's right to obtain a pre-viability abortion and violates the 14th Amendment. That decision was handed down on October the 13th of 2020, last month. Our oaths have been mentioned several times. I'm a lawyer licensed by the state of Texas, and I took an oath to uphold the laws of the U.S. Constitution and the U.S. Constitution and the Constitution of the state of Texas and its laws. That's important to me. I feel like that the good citizens of Lubbock have been misled and used to attempt passage of this ordinance. It will not survive judicial review. You know, when they talked about private enforcement and public enforcement, this is the same legislature that passed laws that said grandparents don't have any rights to their grandchildren. That if their children get into a divorce, The only way a grandparent's ever going to have any rights to that grandchild, if the parents won't agree, is if the parents are just really, really bad. But yet, on this issue, they wanted to make it wide open, lawsuit, damages, punitive damages, and attorney's fees. This is also the same legislature that has preempted ordinances that the city of Lubbock has passed at least 60 times. And why does that happen? Well, we passed an ordinance that a business didn't like, a lobbyist didn't like, a special interest didn't like. So they went to Austin and they got our ordinance preempted. They would deal with such things as property taxes. Just last session, they did that. Construction materials, setting fines and penalties, things of that nature. But they think that this city council should step in on an issue of this magnitude? That makes no sense whatsoever. You can keep saying that the ordinance is not unconstitutional. You can say it all you want to, but until Roe versus Wade is overturned or some other action is taken, it is the law, and it is the rule of law that is important to us. The fact that we are put in this position to have to do what we've had to do for the last few months about this ordinance is misplaced. Doesn't bother me. I do this for a living. And I love the people in my district. I tell people all the time I've got the best district in the city. They argue with me about that. And we do like for you to be engaged. You know, sometimes I wish you'd be more engaged at other times than all of you showing up at one time. But I just think you need to understand that we cannot do what this ordinance is proposing.
Ms. Joy, before you finish, you did a nice job of talking to me about the offer of Mr. Mitchell being, I think your legal background gives you a pretty good way to explain that. Do you mind talking about that, please?
I don't mind. I've heard several people say, well, you know, the Solicitor General will represent you. Okay, the Solicitor General is an attorney in the Attorney General's office that the Attorney General designates to handle appeals. I think somebody thought it was an elected position or something, which it's not. Mr. Mitchell is a former member of the Attorney General's office. But the greatest right that we have as citizens and as a body is to select our own attorney. I cannot imagine the number of conflicts that Mr. Mitchell would have when it comes to trying to represent us. And that's not going to happen. The only reason it's been brought up at all is so people could say, well, you don't have to pay an attorney. You don't have to spend citizen money to pay an attorney. That's the only reason it was ever brought up. But I, for one, will pick my own lawyer, and I will not pick someone who is obviously conflicted and has been selected by some of the Right to Life organizations. Does that do it?
Thank you.
You got it.
So I,